Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Oh, I've almost forgotten how to do this. We're back for 2014. We've had a couple of weeks off. Well earned, might I add. But the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast is back. Is this episode number 15?
I've got no idea, Tim, but not to keep up ruining sort of podcasts, my cams aren't working.
What is up with you, JB?
It's every single
what's
one.
What's going on?
What's your pre-match preparation like? Are you this shambolic when you're preparing for
you know
a
what,
match?
Right? Pre-match, I am the last to start getting changed, but always the first out. It takes me 5 seconds to get changed. No more, no less.
I think there's a little twiddly...
Yeah. Right, let's get this out. Oh, there we go.
Oh,
is that better?
Yes. Well done.
Oh, you seem to have some sort of false socket here. There you go. Anyway, Happy New Year, Tim.
Happy New Year, JB. Happy New Year, Phil.
Happy New Year, Tim.
Right, we don't need to say Happy New Year anymore. That's done.
Good.
You always have to say that to everyone the first time you see him in the new year, don't you?
And shake hands.
And shake hands.
Yeah. Is it not really embarrassing when you see someone for the second time and you forgot that you've seen them the first time, wish them Happy New Year again? Did that in work.
That's so true. Obviously, we'll get onto the rugby, but JB, congratulations on your news.
Yes, I started 6 on the weekend, so I'm absolutely delighted. I've been trying to get there for ages. I finally asked the questions to the coach and he said yes. So thank you, Tim.
And you got engaged.
Oh, sorry, yes, I got engaged, yes.
And to put that in rugby terms, you've signed a long-term deal.
I have, with no get-out clauses.
No, you're bound to be going over budget and having to answer to the authorities about that one. And you've now got a very different game plan that involves a lot less rucking.
Are you pitching for a best man speech here, Tim?
I was thinking it's a bit more like the LV Cup or Amlin Cup final. It's kind of a big day out for all your supporters, friends and family.
But ultimately means nothing.
Yeah, you have the honeymoon period where you celebrate the trophy and then a couple of weeks later you're back to the daily grind, boring, monotonous pre-season training.
Welcome to the Amlin Cup. Right, thanks.
Well done, anyway.
Yeah, congratulations, Jake.
Cheers.
Right, listen, let's get on to the matters of rugby then, shall we? And I think we should get straight on. Well, no, actually, with the New Year theme, if you were any rugby player, this could be yourself, it could be a player, it could be a director, a rugby coach, a club. What resolution would you make for 2014?
I would fire Dean Ryan and I'd replace him with anyone.
Yourself, perhaps?
And anyone.
So you're saying Cecil Duckworth, New Year's resolution should be to replace Dean Ryan with the next person he sees.
Yeah, literally the next. I would pick a name from the telephone book. Yeah, I'd do that.
I feel sorry for Dean Ryan.
I think...
Not so much.
I did for a bit, but now...
It's gone too far. It's gone too far.
And that game at the weekend, we'll get into it more later, but it was absolutely a must win. If they win that, they have a shot and they didn't perform at all.
It's like he's got a tape recorder and every time he's interviewed he presses it and it says, we're in a better place than we were, were doing well, the much improved group. I mean, if they're much improved now from what he started with, what were they like when they started with?
My resolution from a professional rugby point of view would be to get Cocker to, not you, Tim, Cockerell, Richard Cockerell, to keep quiet in post-match interviews, just not do post-match interviews.
Well, actually, in the sack race, I wouldn't be surprised if, it's going to be Dean Ryan, but after him, Cockerell must be getting
you reckon?
There. I think so. Well, if they're sixth now.
If he doesn't, they're fifth at the moment. If he doesn't get the top four...
He's got to go.
Have you seen their four fixtures during the... During the Six Nations, though, they are very fortunate. With the injuries and with the international call-ups, they're very fortunate they're playing Worcester, London Irish and Newcastle.
Oh, really?
And Gloucester during the Six Nations.
That's convenient, isn't it?
Yeah. Isn't it just?
Very fortunate run of games. But no, I hear what you're saying. My rugby resolution, it would be Saracens. They should make it their resolution to get not two players in every position of top-notch Premiership standard, but three, or maybe four, by September 2014.
And I bet they'd all fit under the salary cap, just like they do now.
Or failing that one, then Andy Good to shave off his hair.
No.
Please.
It would be a leap of faith, but he needs to know it would look better.
By
just
way,
shave it off.
One-man wrecking team. Isn't he awesome?
Well, he had...
Isn't he awesome?
The way it was described, the game, the last-minute drop goal to beat Exeter Chiefs, the way it was put is that he had an absolute stinker of a game, but when it mattered, came up with a good...
Isn't that like the striker that plays badly and still scores a goal?
Yeah.
That's what he is. Hey, Leicester, I hear, are looking for a new fly-half. Just saying.
Although Owen Williams, he's looked good, hasn't he?
He's looked all right.
Yeah.
Wales could do with a new 10.
And Simon Easterby, when he said of all the people that have left Scarlets, this included George North, he was most disappointed about Owen Williams leaving.
Ooh, I don't know about
that. Wow. Well, I saw him in the flesh 2 weeks ago, and that was his first start, I think, of the season. And he looked good. He didn't look shaky or anything like that, or nervous. His distribution was good. His kind of feet to fix the inside man and make that half break were good. His kicking was solid. He had a lovely little out-the-back-door offload for Leicester's first try against Sale.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think he looks solid on the last two corners.
I wonder if that'll soften the blow enough of losing Flood that they've...
And George Ford, obviously.
Oh, yeah, last year.
Yeah, of course. Well, they might not go and spend big on a fly-half.
Yeah,
because I think they need things everywhere else, actually.
Again, we'll get into this. And, I mean, the smart money is that they're just waiting a couple of weeks, even though the Freddie Burns deal is already done and was probably done a while ago.
Are we sure about this?
They're waiting a couple of weeks just so it doesn't look like they spoke to him pre-January the 1st when they're supposedly allowed to, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All the smart money's on Freddie Burns going to Leicester.
Yeah, I've heard that, but the more it drags on, the less I believe it.
I'd probably look away from spending certainly quite big money on Freddie Burns.
You know, maybe he's not all he's cracked up to be.
Can I just, because this will lead nicely into the international squads, which we're going to talk about shortly, but another New Year's resolution would be, if I could pick it, for Stuart Lancaster to pick two out-and-out wingers for England.
You mean not Brown? Not Fletcher,
Brown. I'm not saying not Brown and Foden.
Yeah, yeah.
Like them both. I like them both as players. And admittedly, with injuries, maybe one of those would be justified. But when everyone's fit, two out-and-out wingers, please.
George North.
If you could pick George North, he would do.
Oh, damn right.
You can pick the English George North. Banahan. What a clown.
I completely agree, Tim. And there's quite a few English wingers putting their hands up. Anthony Watson scored a great try at the weekend. Miles Benjamin looks pretty good. Noel, Charlie Walker, although his attempt at a tackle against George North was pathetic.
Well, and we've got Christian Wade injured, Marlon Yard injured.
And Johnny May as well.
Well, no, let's just get straight into the EPS squad then, because that is one of the big things that is happening. Well, it is Thursday, depending on... It may well have happened by the time you listen to this. It may well be happening. It's in the future for us at this moment in time. So on Thursday, Stuart Lancaster announces his elite squad. And there's some... Well, there's quite a few injuries that need replacements for. And there's a lot of talk about some other players. The move that Toby Flood's making abroad could mean that he doesn't get selected. So who comes in for him at 10? I mean, the 10 is probably the position that's created the most debate.
So the current squad is Flood, Farrell and Burns, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Burns has not been playing well at all. No. Admittedly behind a poor pack.
Yeah, but like we said, a poor pack, which then 12 trees came yeah. into and won two games.
Farrell will definitely keep his place.
Yeah.
And Flood, if he's in France next season, won't keep his place because he won't be available for the World Cup. So
there's definitely one, and arguably, like you say, two positions up for grabs. So okay. what three tens would you pick in your squad, Phil?
I would...
Crikey.
Obviously, keeping Farrell, I would definitely put George Ford in there because did you see him against Leicester? He played really well, kicked well, hands are good, good feet for the Francois Lowe try where he went through the gap and offloaded inside. And he's been playing consistently well all season, so he'd go in there. And then I'd be tempted to put Cipriani in as the third choice ahead of Burns because I just don't think... Let Burns kind of regain his form and confidence, if that's going to happen, and move Cipriani, give him one last shot.
I totally agree. I'd go with those three that
Ford,
you just mentioned
Burns.
There. I think, you know, Stuart Lancaster, I like this about him, that he says he's going to pick on form, he's not going to pick on reputation. If that's true, Freddie Burns isn't deserving of a place in the England squad. Agreed. Good a player as he is, he's... And I think Cipriani has been, to be honest.
Let me ask you a quick question, right? Mm. If you knew nothing about these players, right? You just had these players. I'm not going to tell you what the game is, what the conditions are, who they're playing with, anything.
I know who you're going to. You'd go.
No.
You'd go. Charlie Hodgson, Andy Goode, and
Wilkinson. if you went and you had a game tomorrow, okay, would you rather pick from that three there, or Ford, Farrell, Burns? Be honest. You've got one game to win.
A World Cup final tomorrow.
Right, yeah. Right now, we're going to play.
Oh, wait, sorry. The three that you just mentioned then.
Yeah, yeah. Against the three, which probably will be in the EPS.
Goode, Hodgson, Wilkinson. All right, sorry.
If there was a World Cup tomorrow, fair enough, JB, I'd probably, actually, to be honest, I'd probably go with you.
Absolutely would. And the problem is, looking at outside of that group, like the up-and-comers, well, Clegg used to be an up-and-comer, but what is he, like 23, 24 now?
Yeah.
Doing not much?
Playing behind Godman, who was at London Scottish last season.
I can't really think... Godman doesn't even look like a rugby player.
He played very poorly against Sale on Friday.
The guy from Exeter?
Henry Slade.
He's only
He's just
20.
Coming through, just turned 20, and has just made his first premiership start.
Carlisle?
Looks like a really good player.
Not playing any games.
Yeah, who is there? The only other one might be 12 trees as an emergency.
Yeah, Geraghty never panned out, did it?
Yeah, no, it didn't. Yeah. I completely forgot about Geraghty.
And Lamb never panned out.
Ugh. Yeah, too busy fighting, apparently.
That's why I really like Farrell. He's got the temperament for international rugby in the, you know, I know you've been critical of some elements of his style.
I think my biggest criticism of Farrell is in a way a compliment, which is he's just a very good 12. He's a better 12 than he's a 10.
I don't think he's fast enough to be a 12.
Yeah, but what's the other option? 12 trees and Barrett. I mean, they're not exactly sprinters. I mean, they're not Kyle Eastmond.
Eastmond or Burrell.
Now we're talking. Yeah.
Pretty exciting options.
I don't know. For a playmaker, I think 12 trees has really put himself now.
I like 12 trees.
Yeah, that's his shit to lose. But God, I'd love to see Eastmond. And I'd love to see...
Burrell. Given a shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking at the England squad, there's a few injuries, but and obviously they need replacements. Wing, there's Christian Wade and Marlon Yard, who are both were in the EPS squad, and you think they're going to be replaced by other players. We can get onto that in a minute. And then the centre positions as well, with Barrett and Tuilagi not being there. But how about, is Ben Morgan deserving of a place in the England elite squad?
I'd say he deserves a place.
Where is he in the English number eight pecking order this season?
Behind Dave Hewers.
On form. I was going to say, hey. Big Dave trucking it up.
Oh, he's awesome, isn't he?
You could make an argument that Nick Easter would be ahead of him as well.
Nick Easter is certainly ahead of him.
He's been playing really
well.
They're
not really picking on form. I think the last coach to genuinely pick on form was a long time ago when it was Clive Woodward. He genuinely did pick on form. I don't believe that people are picking on form now.
And Billy Vunipola's got the eight shirt. That's his now. Ben Morgan, quality player when he turns it on and offers something a little bit different, but He's just in a Gloucester team that's really lackluster. Yeah. And I go, Matt, on form, Matt Kovacic, is he deserving of a place?
No chance.
Absolutely not.
He's not been good.
Is he? He's not in the squad, is he?
He's in the England Elite player squad.
How?
He's in the 32. It's Robshaw, Kovacic.
Kovacic, wow. How about Jamie Gibson?
Well, he's more a six.
Yeah, well, I mean, so is Robshaw.
Yeah, Gibson played well the other day.
Played exceptional.
Kovacic, he's a penalty machine. Doesn't learn.
Again, is that a position where we've got a bit of a weakness? We've got a lot of players that are kind of pretty good, but no one that's a real standout.
I don't mind it when teams go out and put the three best back rowers, regardless of positions, on the field. I do like an out and out seven if they are genuinely world class,
genuine fetcher the Pocock, like the Hooper,
what's his name, the Brousseau, someone like that, really really top. Top class.
But are the laws of the game cancelling out a lot of their prowess?
Well, maybe, but you know, if they are, don't have Kovacic in just because you see him as a bit of a fetcher at some point in his career.
Hey, listen,
time, you know?
This time last year we'd be saying, oh, Kovacic should be starting ahead of Robshaw.
And
that's what people were saying before the autumn internationals, but he's club form, and again he's in a Gloucester pack which hasn't really been given a platform, and they're just a bit lacklustre. He's not been playing well.
No.
His own high standards.
By anyone's standards, he's not been playing well.
I mean, I'd
he's
be thinking,
not been playing well by Dean Ryan's standards.
Would you go top like Tom Wood?
Yes.
Like would be a better. I mean, he'll probably start six.
Yeah, I think you. That's you starting Tom Wood, Robshaw, Vunipola.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I like to see Dave Ewers in there.
I'd like to see him step up because he's not even been in the Saxon squad yet.
He'll get in the Saxons.
How about more members of that Bath team? That pack is so giant.
Carl Ferns,
yeah.
I know he's only been back a month or six weeks from injury.
Is Garvey English?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, why not him?
Yeah. He's playing very well.
Hooper, Atwell, Katz, Weber. I mean, these guys are steamrolling people, and no one just doesn't seem to register.
How many former London Irish players are you reeling off there? Anthony Watson, will he get in the England squad at wing? Do you reckon?
Not this time round.
No,
I
don't think he will.
Who do you think
will
come in for Wade and Yard then? Ashton and who?
Interestingly, after his game against Toulon, Jack Nowell was put forward, including by us. As a potential. And then Harlequin has took apart Exeter a couple of weeks ago, and Charlie Walker played really well, and Noel got a yellow card and didn't do anything, and he got put forward, and then weekend just gone, George North ran through Charlie Walker.
He can run through anyone, though.
So
few much, much more experienced international players that have been guilty of that.
Exactly.
Yeah, true. I think Walker does look good. He's got very good feet, good turn of pace, and he's been playing consistently well this season, although you need some serious work on his tackling.
Do you not think, though, there's a little bit of England building for the future? I don't like this with international teams. I think international teams should be the best team you can get right now.
Well,
regardless of age, regardless of anything.
On that, Strettle's the top scorer in the Premiership at the moment.
Is he?
Yeah. Moving back in.
He's
only 29.
Yeah, well, it should be the best people right now. I don't buy this building.
Strettle will come back in, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he will.
Surely
it's Johnny May, though.
Yeah,
Johnny May will take one of those spots.
I like Johnny May. I think he's a very good player.
Yeah, he's good.
Any other positions, then? Front row. Corbs is out, but you've got Marler and Vunipola.
Picks itself, really, doesn't it, now, the squad?
Yeah.
In that sense. And second row's the other big area that's quite interesting, because Parling's out.
Yeah.
So there's Launchbury. And Atwood was in the last squad. You'd expect him to stay
in.
Courtney Laws was in the last squad, obviously. You expect him to stay in. That's three. So you've got one more second row spot.
What about Ed Slater?
Yes. Ed Slater, Graham Kitchener, his club mate.
Kitchener's playing really well, although he's been injured the last couple of weeks.
Basically, who comes in for Parling? I'd probably go Kitchener.
Yeah, I'd probably pick Kitchener just ahead of Ed Slater. I think he's a bit more dynamic.
I think Atwood's got that grunt. For the second string behind Laws and Launchbury, Atwood's got the grunt, and then Kitchener is kind of your mobile athletic.
I like that. The one position I think we've not talked about for the elite player squad is scrum half.
Oh, no, we haven't.
So who's in the squad at the moment? We've got Youngs,
Kerr, and Dixon.
Dixon. The only person I can see pushing that would be Joe Simpson.
After this week?
He's only just come back from injury. Man of the match, including a try where he showed his pace, because he has real pace.
He does.
and a try-saving tackle that defied the laws of physics. It was absolutely astonishing that he stopped Henry Slade from scoring, who was sliding. He was already over the line and somehow managed to scoop him up and over and stop the try.
I actually think as well that Youngs has kind of hit a bit of a plateau over the last few months. Kerr still looks good.
Yeah.
And Dixon looks like Dixon.
Solid.
I like the selection of Dixon in the Autumn Internationals because there's a player that, I mean, he can sort of nip around the fringes like Danny Kerr and Ben Youngs, but actually, in terms of service, just the pure basics, he just gets the ball away from the breakdown.
And he's the most abrasive.
Quicker
too.
Than anyone.
Apparently, he owns two Staffordshire Bull Terriers. That's a little fact for you.
It's a great fact. Yeah. Hold on a minute.
Fact!
New sound effect for the for the new year.
Better than the knowledge bomb.
Yeah, well,
you have to wait 10 minutes for the knowledge bomb.
For the knowledge bomb to drop. Right, well, that's the EPS squad. We'll find out. Well, you can let us know what you think at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, and we'll find out on Thursday what Stuart Lancaster's squad will be, and then we can pick the bones out of that one afterwards. And the next podcast you're going to be able to hear from us will be a BT Sport special.
Ooh,
we're going to be going down and behind the scenes of rugby tonight this week. And chatting to a load of the guys there and doing our podcast on location. So should be good.
Excited.
JB almost screwed it up by booking loads of appointments on the day we were going to be going down.
Such an idiot.
But never mind, we're all right. Okay then. How about a bit of rugby okey?
Yes.
Technically speaking, we're still in the Christmas holiday season, aren't we? Like the 12 days of Christmas haven't finished yet.
Yeah.
Did 12 days of Christmas start before Christmas and end with Christmas Day rather than start with Christmas and end after New Year?
The iPhone app, 12 days of Christmas, finishes today.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So
does that mean you're meant to put your decorations down today?
I don't know.
I take mine down on Boxing Day.
Burn it all.
Burn them. Burn all the cards, incinerate them.
Right, well, listen, we featured on the last podcast we did before Christmas the beautiful sound on Rugby Oki of Ben Foden singing with his wife Una, the lovely, delicious, I think you described her as, didn't you, JB?
Edible.
Una from the Saturdays singing Wham's Last Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hadn't noticed before that Ben Foden's cuddling a puppy as he's singing that this song.
I bet that puppy goes immediately back to the pet store straight after that. Puppy for hire. Does Ben Foden strike as a man who just is ridiculously happy with life?
Yeah. What's there to be unhappy about?
God, I hate his happiness.
I'd love to be half as talented. I'd love to. Does my missus listen to this?
Are you talking about a puppy? You want to own a puppy? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'd love to be half as talented. I'd love to be a penny behind him. And Una is lovely.
Well, yes, she is.
In between us doing the last podcast and today, Ben Foden has been at it again.
Excellent.
And it was alerted to us on Twitter. So thank you very much for that. Danny Kerr this time joined Ben Foden. So this is belatedly the second part of Ben Foden's Christmas special, Rugby Oki. This is Danny Kerr and Ben Foden singing White Christmas.
Danny, what are you dreaming of this Christmas?
Oh, no.
I'll tell you what, Ben.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the one I used to know. Where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm
still going.
Dreaming of a white Christmas.
Danny Kerr's got like tinsel sunglasses as well.
Nice.
Christmas card
I don't want to hear any more Christmas.
May your
jeans
be merry.
Do you know what this is? What did they say? May your
jeans be merry.
White jeans.
This song is a direct product of...
Merry Christmas to all the fans out there. Thank you for all your support.
God, stop it. That song is a direct product of the game going too professional. They don't drink, they don't have fun anymore. This is the only outlet which I've actually got, and that's why we've got a proliferation of rugby songs.
So what you say, Rugby Oki exists, and we have all these rugby players loving taking to the microphone to sing because they're not out getting smashed and playing drinking games enough.
Correct. You go on YouTube and you type in Jason Leonard, Martin Johnson singing. You won't find it. Won't happen. So, no, it's a sad indictment of today's modern game.
What would you do then? You'd have maybe, just like we have these international autumn, international window and the Six Nations international window, you'd have a get smashed window, maybe. Yeah. Mid-season.
The only teams...
Mid-season bender break.
Rugby League. Rugby League
especially
do it.
In rugby. Mad Monday, don't they?
Yeah.
Mad Monday is meant to be awesome.
Oh, Mad Monday. Yeah, if anyone's not familiar with Mad Monday, explain what it is. This is Aussie rules, though, isn't it? And Rugby League.
Yeah. British Rugby League do it. They do a couple British Rugby League.
So it started in Australia because the playoffs for Rugby League and for Aussie rules happen on the same weekend. And for a lot of teams, their season is over, all but the people that go through to the semi-finals or whatever. And even at amateur levels, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's Mad Monday is the same for professional teams and amateur teams.
I know the physios for Oldham Ruffians, and they'd go out on Mad Monday round Oldham and get absolutely smashed in Oldham.
Let's talk about some transfers then. Because the other thing that happens in the new year is the window for Premiership clubs to talk to players who are out of contract in the summer. They're allowed to officially talk to them on January the 1st. Obviously, I'm sure none of them have any sort of contact with agents or anything before January the 1st.
I never knew that this existed until recently.
Yeah.
I think because money's got more influential within the game. It never used to be a problem. But now, clearly, it is.
They can talk to players who are out of contract on January the 1st, and I think they can talk to Championship players who are out of contract on February the 1st.
Oh.
And again, I'm sure that no Premiership club has ever spoken to anyone before either of those two dates. They wouldn't dare. Just like no one would go over the salary cap in any way.
Absolutely not.
Or circumvent the salary cap rules.
They would not do that. Did you hear the statement from Leicester? The Leicester, I don't know what you call him, capologist or what, you know, the guy who's the guy's in charge of manipulating the
He's
salary
a genius,
cap.
By the way, whoever this guy is.
I think Stephen Hawkins. And he was responding to the comments from Sale Sharks director of rugby, Steve Diamond, who countered that Sale were cheating in the scrum by saying that Leicester were cheating with their salary cap.
He didn't say that specifically. What he said is Cockerell can come to me and talk about it when they're operating on a £4 million budget rather than a £6 or £7 million budget.
OK, so the capologist came out for Leicester and said we are operating at something like 5.6 million. But he interestingly gave a breakdown of where that came from, like English qualified players play for England. They fully use up their salary cap. They then also fully use their exemption.
At whatever their JCB or GNC or Next Directory or whatever. Go and do a bit of consultancy work for a bit. Yeah. That's, you know.
It all adds up. But how do you stop players getting endorsements? And I don't understand how that's regulated. And furthermore, I don't think it should be regulated.
And look, might we just point out, JB's a financial advisor. So
yes,
so you would understand how to shut stuff down.
No,
because you're the opposite way around. You're trying to get through all the loopholes you can. That's your job.
Yeah, you've got to be paid for something. But I think it's certainly a very grey area, because why shouldn't players get sponsorship from, say, if you can sell AJ Bell or Cat? Because they've only got 10 years to play. They need as much money as they possibly can.
And again, I'm not wanting to get myself in trouble, but there's lots of rumours about similar happening at Sale Sharks back when they had Chabal and Bruno and Hodgson and Cueto and all of the big names that they
Robinson, Jason White,
Luke McAllister,
oh, yeah. Fernandez Lobby, brothers.
That was pretty impressive bringing that squad in under the salary cap.
Well done, guys.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way to stop it. And actually, the one thing I do with Leicester is I go, they've got 18,000 season ticket holders.
They've got
18,000 season ticket holders. There isn't another club in the country that gets 18,000 people to any game.
Yeah, isn't it?
Outside of the big matches that they put at Twickenham and whatnot.
What everyone else needs to do is catch up with Leicester.
So the rumour mill is in force. Apparently the Reece Priestland deal to Gloucester is pretty much done deal.
Oh no, poor Gloucester.
And as I mentioned, there's a lot of talk that it's a done deal that Freddie Burns is going to Leicester.
That's not a great one for them. I think they'll regret that. Do you think they'll regret it as much as when they signed Ramiro Pez? Wonderful signing.
What about Serevi as well?
Oh, yeah.
Where will Marlon Yard be this time next season? His contract's up in the summer.
Can the new owners of London Irish afford to keep him?
Who are the new owners of London Irish?
Consortium.
A consortium.
Ooh, sounds mysterious.
Well, money and investments apparently being put in. But I was looking at the London Irish team, if they'd managed to retain their players, even over the summer, let alone previous seasons. And three players that stood out and played really well at the weekend: Watson, Garvey, Joseph. Gibson.
Oh, it's Gibson?
Yeah.
Jamie Gibson?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you got Corbisiero.
Yeah. Jonathan Joseph, was it?
Joseph, of course.
He scored a try at the weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, and they're all qualified as well. I feel sorry for them.
Yeah, all talented, young English qualified players.
What about this one then? This is a sort of fresh bit of news that's come out this last few days. Apparently, the WRU, and let's not get into the Welsh situation too much, because my God, what on earth is going on there? JB, you're a Welshman. Do you have any idea what's going on with the Welsh regions?
I think basically what happened is when it went professional, when it went regionalised, should I say, the same idiots that were in charge of the clubs prior to that were still in charge of the region. So the regions are kind of ran, I don't know, they run with the same sort of efficiency as like a Cub Scout group and with the same kind of financial acumen.
But the WRU have threatened them. In response to it, they've kind of thrown the toys out of the pram and, well, if you want to join the Rugby Champions Cup, we'll just form four new regions.
Yes, they have. The WRU really wants central contracts, which is a road to ruin. So there's strong, strong talk that Sam Warburton's going to be the first centrally contracted player in Wales. But the secret to the Welsh being really good is the fact that we don't keep our best players. So we've got these young kids playing week in, week out against, you know, the Munsters and Leinsters and whoever it may be, then playing Heineken Cup, and they get really good. So then we form them off to Leicester, who, you know, the guy playing 10. We've got people all over France, and then when we get them back together, they're a quality outfit. And I think, long should it last.
It's some quite deep political stuff we're getting into.
Yeah. That's what we do here.
Fair enough, that's absolutely cool. But how about we just we go, just for a second, something dead simple. So far, we're just over halfway through the Premiership season and the season in general. Best signing for this season. So the best signing that was made by a team for this season on the basis of the first half of the season.
I know mine, and I'm not joking. And
I know who you're going to pick.
Andy Goode.
Oh, tell me if he's not. Where are they now?
Sixth.
Andy Goode mentioned.
That's right. One man has literally turned that team around.
I think turned that team around is a bit of a...
Yeah.
Where were they last year?
George Ford. I think you could... I think you can make an argument for Goode. I think George Ford...
Yeah, not only can you make an argument for where he's gone, look at where he's left and look at what they're doing.
Yeah. George Ford, I think, could be arguably the best signing. Sarri's have done two very good bits of business, I think, to get James Johnson and Billy Vunipola to strengthen what was already...
James Johnson in particular.
Arguably the strongest pack. Yeah, they're both really good acquisitions. Because they didn't bring many people in at all.
And they took away from Harlequins as well, which I'll be delighted about.
Yeah, yeah.
Anthony Watson is looking like a beaut of a signing for Bath.
Yeah.
And actually there was, you know, four or five real high-quality players that have gone down the M4 from London Irish to Bath that look really good. Matt Garvey looks excellent. I think it's worth actually saying London Irish did some, not great signings, but they signed seven or eight Championship players who were all...
I like that.
Who were all in their match day 23.
Yeah.
Consistently. Which actually, you're going, if they've got a bit of a financial issue, they're managing to balance the books and give themselves a chance of keeping the likes of Yard by actually replacing Garvey and Corbisiero with people like Matt Parr from Nottingham and Eamon Sheridan from Rotherham.
Yeah. He's a big slice, isn't he? He's like Jamie Roberts big.
Yeah. So, I like that bit of business that Irish did, and obviously Irish fans will be a bit cheesed off about where they are in the table. However, I just go, it could have been a lot worse. Well, how about worst signing then? There's not been that many stellar signings, because there wasn't that many full stop. But worst signing then?
Dean Ryan. Tell me if I'm wrong. I'll listen.
It's hard to argue. So was Matt Kovacic there last year. Now, I'd almost say, has he been a bad signing?
Yeah,
he's on my shortlist.
Matt Kvesic is actually, the real Matt Kvesic is somewhere on the M5, just in the service station between Gloucester and Worcester.
He's got a useless twin.
Because the awesome player from last season hasn't quite made it to Gloucester yet.
No, absolutely not.
The three that I had as the worst signings were Kvesic, Paul Sackey.
Oh, he's done nothing, hasn't he? Has he played yet?
He played a couple of games. And arguably, Corbisiero.
Yeah, he's not done anything.
Because he's injured. He's had.
He's kept it kind of quiet.
He's had.
How have you kept it, Alex?
Keep it kind of quiet. People on a diet. Scrum is straight, Tom is right. I don't deny it.
What about? Paul Sackey.
I can't believe we almost read the podcast without featuring the Corbisiero rap.
Does Paul Sackey still own like a luxury car dealership?
What?
That used to be his thing, yeah. He used to own, like, either he owned a luxury car dealership, or it was, like, luxury car deal, like, leasing or sourcing or something.
Would you buy a car off Paul Sackey? I think I would.
Yeah, trustworthy guy.
Yeah, why not?
I think you could trust him.
I wouldn't trust him under a highball, but yeah, I'd trust him with a Mercedes. Yeah, why not?
What about another one for Gloucester, then? James Hudson. When you look at the second rows that Gloucester lost and the way their pack is performing... Jim Hamilton and Alex Brown. So Jim Hamilton, Alex Brown.
Yeah.
Two big lads.
They are.
And Hudson, good in the line-out. But I think Gloucester are missing a real... Gnarly enforcer.
Why don't you tell the listeners what his nickname was in university?
Well, I will preface this with saying he's an exceptional player. An excellent talent.
Stop it.
But he was in my university rugby team, along with Joe Alab. And Rob Higgett.
Name drops.
Danny Gray, Tom Luke, Nick Rouse, Luke Charteris.
Luke Charteris.
And co. His nickname was the Ruck Inspector. Because the way he used to play, he was always the first man to get to the ruck after the ruck had been won by someone. And it was almost like he was stood there with a clipboard going, yep, okay, on to the next one, let's go. Jog, 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 next one.
That's almost exactly what I do. I point at the ruck and say, God, God, God. Yeah, it's a way not to get caught out.
I just think Gloucester are missing a real bruiser. They're missing Atwood, basically. Or Hamilton, or Bat.
How about, then, the biggest loss to a team?
All right. Oh, yeah, well, then, you already mentioned James Johnston.
Yeah.
What a difference he would make to Quinn's pack.
Or James Johnson and Ollie Cohen.
And Ollie Cohen between them, 40-odd stone.
Yeah, 43, 44 stone. That's a huge loss.
And for Wasps, Vunipola, I actually thought Ed Jackson would turn out to maybe be a better acquisition than he has. He's still young, but he had a great season for London Welsh last year. And I thought he might continue that with London Wasps, but it's a big step
he's
up.
He's done all right, though.
Done all right.
I think there's one man who is definitely the biggest loss.
Go on.
You could argue Andy Goode, but I think that the Worcester team this year would really have struggled whether he was there or not. But I think the biggest loss is Jimmy Gopeth. And I think had he been there, he would have kept them in touch for bonus points and some wins a lot more frequently than Phil Godman.
Yeah.
I've just thought of a best signing.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Two concerning Sale Sharks. One, the Sale Sharks defence coach. I forget the guy's name, but he's made a massive...
Yeah.
Name will come to me. They look a much better outfit this season than last. Big effect there. And the second one is Danny Cipriani. Because it's not the same Danny Cipriani that was there last season.
Oh, yeah,
He didn't give a damn last... Well, he didn't appear to give a damn last year, but he's knuckled down, and what a difference it makes.
So, Danny Cipriani's spiritual life coach, mentor. Yeah.
Is he working with Steve Black?
Yes, he is. Yes.
Is he?
Yes. Oh. Wilkinson's former.
Have you ever heard Steve Black talk about stuff? It's like going on some sort of Indian spiritual life experience. He is a crazy man. Have you ever seen the Lions DVD where Austin Healey starts to rip him?
No.
So funny. Austin Healey's running around in a circle or whatever he's doing. He goes, okay, boys, in a Geordie accent, run as fast as you can. And then starts accelerating.
I've not seen the Lions DVD yet.
Oh, you mean the Corbisiero DVD with the Lions rugby attached to it?
Oh, yeah, the Corbisiero rap with additional Lions series win in Australia.
We should have a Egg Chasers Sunday afternoon when there's LV Cup or something like that.
A commentary which listeners can watch the Lions DVD with us commentating.
Director's
over.
Commentary.
Director's commentary. That'd be wonderful.
How do you generally keep it in the Lions DVD, Alex?
Keep it kind of quiet.
Fair enough. This is hot off the press. We've just been tweeted at Rugby Podcast.
Uh-oh.
A little link to Una Foden, Una from the Saturday's Twitter account.
If I was at BT Sport, like you were, Tim, you were at BT Sport this week gone, did anyone mention that Alex Sanderson looked a bit like Prince? That's the first thing that should be mentioned.
But I wouldn't dare tell him.
He'd probably appreciate the feedback.
Alex Sanderson was brilliant. He kept going on and on, like a lot of people do in the new year. He's like, no, I don't want any of those sandwiches. I'm on a diet. We've got a salad. And then I looked round about a minute later and he was chugging flapjacks like they were nobody's business during the first half.
Those flapjacks will pale on the pounds as well.
Well, if you're in the social media hub next time, Tim, I want you on...
Just to explain, I was in the social media hub on BT Sport during the Bath-Leicester match, so, yeah, and we will be doing much more like that, hopefully, in the weeks and months to come.
You should be reading tweets from Una's Twitter account. That's what you should be doing.
Yeah, you're right. I let the team down by not doing that this time. But the tweet from Una Foden says, "Good luck to all the rugby lads, Ben Foden, Dick09, I guess that's Lee Dixon. That's a good Twitter handle, Dick09. Nice one, Lee Dixon. So good luck to the rugby lads, Ben Foden, Lee Dixon, Dylan Hartley, Chris Ashton, Alex Corbs, with an online series of official most haunted with Yvette Fielding. There's an online only show of most haunted, which those rugby boys are all doing. Northampton and England teammates.
Wonderful.
Are all going to be doing Most Haunted. We're going to have a Most Haunted special podcast.
Incredible.
Can't wait.
Incredible.
That's brilliant.
Online only. How's that been made online only?
We'll have to have like a paranormal 15 as a dream 15.
Oh, have you seen the video of the calendar shoots?
Yeah.
Did I watch that?
We watched that together. That was on Ben Foden, another video on Ben Foden's website. In fact, that's what we're going to go off and do now at the end of this podcast. We're just going to go and spend the next hour kicking back, looking at some of Ben Foden's website. Songs, calendar shoots, you name it, he's got the lot up there. Thank you very much for listening again. This is the first one of 2014. This will be hopefully our first full year because we've only been going a few months. But yeah, the next podcast you're going to hear from us will be on Friday, previewing all the big matches for this weekend. And then the next podcast after that will be the BT Sport special. We're going to be going and hanging out behind the scenes at Rugby Tonight. Making a nuisance of ourselves, chatting to as many people as we can.
Please listen to it because it won't happen again.
I think we're going to make that sort of impression.
Well, we'll see.
I reckon we'll get invited back.
I hope so.
Oh, that'd be nice.
And thank you very much for listening. And we'll catch you on the next one in a bit.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. JB, as you're getting engaged and you're the one that's going to have to start thinking about songs and picking music, have you got a song in mind for your first dance?
I'm not joking when I say I hate music. I literally don't own a
CD.
If
it's not Alex Corbisiero, Alex Corbs, wedding singer.
Done. I don't own any CDs. I don't have any MP3s, downloads. I don't have a game pod or whatever you call it. Not interested. I'm sure we'll work something out. I think the question you want to ask is who's going to play us out?
Who's going to play us out?
Heather Small.
Wow. Well, it's not Heather Small, it's Ricky Flutie.
It's with Heather Small.
Ricky Flutie, after Heather Small from M People had given him a lesson.
That's right.
Let's do it. It's Ricky Flutie singing us out on the Egg Chasers podcast.
Oh, oh, play, we play, play for London West team. And very soon they'll know just who we are. And through the eyes of Sean, rugby stars. Oh, when we play, play, play for London Wasti.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.